As we're worshiping, I just really had a sense of the Holy Spirit and the expectancy that's in this room for God to move. And yeah, let's press into that tonight. So the first 4 weeks of this term, I've been at Hub High School. Put your hands up if you go to the Hub. Or leaders who went to the Hub, put your hands up as well. And I wanted to start by saying thank you. There was something real special about walking around the yard at Hub and all of you coming up to me and saying g'day, asking how my day's been going. And my mentor teachers kept questioning me, like, why are there so many people that you know here? Why do they love you so much? And why do they want to sit and chat with you? And how do they know your name? And I got to tell them because of youth group, because of church, because I was a Christian. And they got to see what the body of Christ looked like at our local public high school. And for me, it was such a privilege to be able to be a part of that. And hey, if you're like, wow, I didn't realize there were so many Christians at the Hub High School, maybe Tuesday lunchtime you need to go to Christian group in the library, in the glass classroom, and be a part of what God's doing at the Hub, hey? So good. So last week we had Young Guns. Who loved the Young Guns? We had Bexar, Matty Rolak, Nathan Heath. They were so powerful. And then the week before we had the 4D movie night. And I just want to apologize. A lot of you got a bit wet and I had one of the water guns. And a few of you got a little bit annoyed with me. But hey, this is a place of grace and I'm sure you'll forgive me for that. But Matt started the series that night, which was Free People. What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to have freedom in Christ? And maybe you started reading the book of Galatians. As I was on placement, as I was preparing this message, I just sat in the book of Galatians. I read over it and over it and over it. And I was just asking God, what's the message you're wanting to portray? And this one thing that is just throughout every chapter just stood out clear as day, that Paul's saying that there is no freedom in the law. There is no freedom in religion, but there is complete freedom in Jesus and a relationship with him. And there's this huge contrast that he's saying that actually the law being good enough, us not measuring up, that way of thinking, this religious idea leads to death and it leads nowhere. But what God's calling us into, as Paul's writing to the church in Galatia, he's saying it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he's done on the cross and what he invites us into a relationship with him. That sometimes religion can give us this wrong idea that it's from the outside in, that I need to change. I need to change my actions. I need to be better. I need to do better. But when we have a relationship with Christ, we have a heart transformation and it starts from the inside out. I want to give you a few ideas of what a false idea that's not of Jesus but of religion is, that we feel like, oh, that person's mistreating me. I can judge on them because they're a bad person. I'm a good person. Oh, I just haven't read my Bible this week. I feel so guilty and I know I should be praying more. I should be doing more because I believe in God, but my actions aren't adding up. And then we get so frustrated and we go in this circle of religion. But God doesn't want us there. He says, no. That person who's mistreating you, you don't actually be hurt by them, but you can be hurt for them. Let me say that again, that no longer am I hurt by you, I'm hurt for you. Because if you knew who you were in Christ, you wouldn't act that way. It changes the mindset because my heart goes out for people who treat others terribly because I feel sorry for you because you don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know what he's done for you. You haven't experienced his love and you act that way. You behave that way. This idea of, I need to be praying more. I should read my Bible more because I know, like, that's what God says. But when we walk in relationship with him, our desires change. That when we have a strong relationship with someone, we want to be with them. We want to spend time with them. Last year, I was in America for 3.5 months. And there's three main things I missed so much. It was this place, XS. How good is XS? It was my friends and my family. And those three things I miss so much because so much of my time and so much of my effort and my passion is in those three categories. And then when I was removed from that for 3 months, I missed it so much. And I think it's the same in our walk and our relationship with Christ, that I can't actually go 2 or 3 days without reading the Bible because I have a desire to sit in God's word. I have a desire to be with him. That's the difference. Religion says we should be doing this more, but a relationship with God says I actually desire to sit with him. I desire to spend time with my heavenly Father because I want to experience the freedom that he has for me. I want to actually get to know who he is and who he says I am. And prayer life changes because we actually want to have conversation with him. We want to take things to him because we want to give him the glory and the praise. We want to be released from chains in our lives, and that's through prayer. That's through the power of prayer. I'm going to get something up on the screen. It's called the Ten Commandments. If you haven't heard of the Ten Commandments, I'm sure you know about them because they're actually in our society. They're in every part of our society. That at school, you know it's not okay to lie. You know it's not okay to steal. But by God's standards, he's calling us to follow these ways. That Moses wrote these out for the Israelites, the people of God, to follow. And we're called to follow these today. But I don't know about you, but I read some of them and go, I've lied before. I've stolen before. But hey, like, I don't lie that often. Or sometimes when I steal, it's only like a few lollies from my siblings. Like, it's not that bad. But hey, that still means I'm a thief and I'm a liar. And then you go, oh, it's all right. I haven't ever murdered anyone. And then you're like, adultery? Like, I haven't even had sex with someone, let alone sleep with someone that's not my husband or wife. Like, I'm doing all right because I haven't failed in a couple of them. But then Jesus flips it on its head and says, if you have hatred, all the year-old boys like, he said sex. But get my point that Jesus actually flips it on its head and says, even if you have hatred towards someone in your heart, even if you're angry towards them, it's like you've committed murder in your heart. Even if you look at a woman lustfully, it's like you've committed adultery in your own heart. So by those standards, I'm a thief, I'm a liar, I'm a murderer, I'm an adulterer, and I'm deserving of death. That I don't actually measure up. I'm not good enough for God, and so are you. You're not actually good enough. That we fail. We fall short of his glory. But hey, then you read the book of Galatians. I'm getting into it now. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. That is such good news that it's actually not about my inadequacies. It's not about whether I measure up because no longer am I justified by my works. I'm justified by what he's done on the cross. No longer am I judged by my failures, but I'm judged by my Savior's triumphs. We go on. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21 says, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. What Paul's trying to say to the church in Galatia is that these old ways have been put to death, that Jesus has nailed them on the cross, they've been crucified. So it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Because I'm not interested in religion, but it's actually a daily walk with Christ. It's a relationship with him. And I don't know about you, but you might be a little bit confused. You're like, hey, Ben, I thought I was coming to a religious event. Like, I thought if you were a Christian, like, that was your religion. And one of my favorite things to do when I'm sharing my faith with someone, often they'll respond with like, hey, I'm not about that religious stuff. And I'll say to them like, nor am I. And then they give me this really weird look like, you're speaking about God, like you're speaking about Jesus, like what's the catch? And I'm just simply say like, actually, I just love Jesus and I want to live in relationship with him. Because every other religion in the world says you have to be good enough. You have to earn God's love. But Christ says, no, no, no. I've already done it all for you and receive it. All you have to do is say yes, step into what he has for you and walk in that. It's such a contrast. I love to travel and I love to go places. And often that means I hop on a plane and I'm always generally on Tiger or Jetstar because I like to go somewhere, but like it's generally I don't have the biggest budget, so I do it cheaply. And sometimes I get to go on Virgin or Qantas. And if you've ever walked past the Qantas lounge, I sometimes look and like, I wonder what's behind those doors. Like, I'm sure it's pretty cool. And then when you're on Qantas, you walk past and like, business class, like, oh, like they must be pretty rich. But I want to picture yourself, you're not going on Tiger, Jetstar, Qantas or Virgin, but you're now a billionaire. Tell the person next to you, congratulations, you're now a billionaire. I tell you what, I can't wait for the offering next week. So we're all billionaires. So what that means is you all have a private airline. So you have a private airport and you have a private jet. Tell you what, people are excited about money, hey? God's got so much more in store for us than just money. Come on. So if you're a billionaire, you have your private airline, a private jet, and you're half an hour into the flight and you're on your private jet, you've gotten like all the nibbles you could ever want or ask for, like more than Virgin and Qantas can ever supply. And you're sitting there with your feet up, having a grand old time, and suddenly over the intercom you hear the plane's about to crash. And suddenly, I'm pretty sure you'd have a bigger reaction than that. Suddenly, you're actually terrified because it's only minutes before your plane crashes. But unlike the movies, it's not like 20 seconds, it's more like 20 minutes. So you have 20 minutes to think about what's going to happen. But you know that there's a parachute on the plane. And in actual fact, there's not just a parachute for you, there's a parachute for everyone on the plane. And here's the catch. You can't just believe that the parachute might save you, could save you. You can't believe in the idea of, oh yeah, I know about that parachute. No, 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 in actual fact, you need to take the parachute and put it on. Once you've got the parachute on, you can open the door, jump out of the plane, pull the chute, and you're good to go because you know the parachute has you. It's the same way in our walk with Christ. We can't believe about God. We can't think he's a distant figure. We actually need to be clothed with Christ. We actually need to put on the parachute, and not only put on the parachute, we need to go and open the door, step out in faith, knowing that God has us. Knowing that, in actual fact, I'm not relying on my own strength because I'm not Superman and I can't jump out of a plane and start flying, but I can jump out of a plane knowing if I've got a parachute, I'll be safe because I can step out in faith. I can step out in my walk with Jesus knowing that he has me, knowing that he covers me with his Holy Spirit. Galatians 3 verse 27. I'm using a few verses from Galatians tonight. Maybe it's a book you should read, hey? Galatians 3 verse 27 says, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Baptism simply means that you were washed with the blood of Jesus, that we were dead in our sin, but now alive with Christ. That's what baptism represents. That's why you're fully immersed in the water, because you were fully dead in your sins, because you failed. You didn't live up to the Ten Commandments, but then you were raised to new life because Jesus paid the ultimate price for you. But do you know what that verse says? It says you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with him. Now we have a rightful standing with God because we've been washed by the blood of Jesus. We can actually walk in relationship with him because we're clothed with Christ. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it lists off a whole heap of sin, whole heap of things that aren't of God. And then it says, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So powerful. In primary school, I had some friends who often got a day off school when the clipsal came around. Put your hand up. Were you ever one of those kids? If you got a day off school for the clipsal, I was always jealous because I wanted a day off school. I didn't want to go to the clipsal, but I wanted a day off school. And I know I'm offending a few people in the room, but I was often confused about the clipsal because I was like, I can just go outside and watch traffic go by. But then my friends would say, no, Ben, you don't understand. There's awesome crashes. We sit on Crash Corner and we get to see the most awesome things. And I would go, I don't want to see people go into hospital, cars going into flames. Like, I'll feel for them. Like, I'll be praying for them. I just got confused. And then I thought about my walk with the Lord throughout primary school. And so often, I would sit in the car and watch the traffic go by. So often I would look up to other people in faith and go, I wish I had what they had. I would listen to sermons online. I would often get to go to so many cool places where I saw the Spirit of God move so powerfully and thought, I wish I could pray like they prayed. I wish I had the anointing in my life like they had. And maybe you've had those questions before. Maybe you thought, I wish I was as bold in my faith as my excess leader. But that's because we're sitting in the car watching traffic go by and God's saying, the keys are in your hand. It's time to turn the car on and start driving. God's actually equipped us with everything we could ever ask for and need for this life. But if we want to walk in relationship with Him, we need to turn on the car and start driving. And then you go, well, actually, like, I'm rubbish at directions. Like, my phone's pretty dodgy. I don't have much data. So, like, I don't have Google Maps. Where am I going? And that's a question I often ask in my faith. God, where are you taking me? I'm starting to be a teacher and I've got to pass a few tests before I get my degree. Am I going to pass them? God's laid ministry on my heart, young people. Where's He going to take me in that? I don't know. I'd love to get married one day, have kids. When's that happening? I don't know. My point is this. Sometimes we want to step out in faith, but we want to know the answers. But God's saying, no. You don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds it. That sometimes we don't know what the next step will look like. We don't know when we jump out of the plane what's going to happen, because I don't know the future, but I know who holds it. And then we start pursuing God. We're not pursuing the things that God can give us, because He's the giver of good gifts. But instead of pursuing the things that God can give me, it's time we just start pursuing the giver. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. That's what it means to walk in relationship with Christ. To seek first the kingdom of God. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds it. There's so many times that God's laid something on my heart. In the last couple of years, He just laid on, what could it look like if we gathered the body of Christ, some young adults, and go out camping? And I was a bit like, Lord, what if no one comes? And I was like, great, I'm paying for the site. What if no one comes? What if no one pays me? Then the first time we had it, there was 20 people. Then I had it again, 30, 50. The last time we had it was over 60 people. And I saw what the body of Christ looked like. And God was saying, like, I've got you. Just step out in faith. I've got you. I've got you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm coming back to religion, coming back to the bad stuff. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. What does that mean? In Jesus' time, it wasn't unusual for someone to be nailed to a cross. That if you were a murderer, a rapist, the lowest of low in that society, you would actually be nailed to a cross. You'd be hung on a pole and everyone would despise upon you. That they knew that you were deserving of death, that you were going to hell. But in actual fact, I read the Ten Commandments and go, I don't measure up. The curse is actually upon me because I've sinned. I've fallen short of what God has for me. But what do we read in Galatians 3:13? It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse. He actually took the curse upon his shoulders and he nailed it to a cross and he rose again. That he took the curse of humanity. He took all my failures. He took all your faults. He took everything and he said, it is finished. It is done. I paid the highest price for you. So you get to walk in relationship with me. You get to experience the freedom that I have for you. He says, my son, my daughter, I love you so, so much that I don't want you to stay there because I want you to know what I have for you, what I've paid for you. I've done it all for you. Can you simply put on the parachute? Can you jump out of the plane? Can you say yes to him? Can you walk with me? It's time we start hopping on the road. We turn the keys and start driving. What does this actually look like though? Jason on Easter camp said one thing, well, he said a lot of good things. He said one main thing that stood out to me, can we count the cost? I was listening to a few Chinese pastors and a few people who I looked up so much in faith that they would smuggle Bibles in with their families. And if they got caught, they could be sentenced to death. They could be punished with the highest price. But they knew that they were going to count the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. They were actually called to live set apart. When we walk in religion, nothing actually really changes for us. We sort of just believe about God. We're like, no, I'm not really an atheist, but hey, I just sort of believe he's out there somewhere. But we just follow the rest of the world. We get caught up in high school and what everyone else is doing. But when we actually count the cost of following Jesus, walking in a relationship with him, it looks different. On Anzac Day for football, I rocked up to my coach's house and we were all having a big celebration and watching the game. And I got there and I was really confused because I didn't see any cars. And I was like, I thought this was a big party. Like, I thought we were going to watch the game, get around each other. And then I walk in and I realize they're all drunk and smashed and they don't want to drink and drive. So that's why there's no cars there. But hey, Big Red was out the front. And I walk in with my four pack of lemon, lime and bitters. And as I'm walking in, a lot of my footy mates know I'm a Christian and sort of have a bit of a smirk on their face, like, good on you, Benny Peters. And then some of the new players were like, where's your vodka to go with your lemon, lime and bitters? And that gave me an opportunity to say, actually, like, I'm not really about getting drunk, like, because I know what God has for me. I got to explain what it means to be a follower of Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting in a year 12 food and hospitality class. And there Bexar is sharing her faith. And as she's starting to share her faith, the class suddenly goes quiet because they know that what she has, they don't have. That she's actually walking out her faith in such an infectious way that she goes, I want for you what I have because I've experienced the love of Christ and it's changed me and I want that for you. And as she was sharing this, so many people in the class got a little bit confused because they'd only ever heard of religion. But Beck got to explain to them what a relationship with Christ means, what it means to receive the love of God in your life, and how that breaks strongholds, how that breaks chains in your life, that breaks struggles and allows us to walk in the freedom that he's paid for. Let's pray, hey? Father, just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. We just acknowledge that right now, Father. If there's anything that you want to stir inside of us, do it now, Lord. We're asking for fresh revelation, Jesus. We thank you that by your Holy Spirit, we can live free. By your Holy Spirit, you called us to walk in relationship with you, Father. Thank you that you are a good, good God who wants good things for his children. So let us put to death the things that aren't of you, Father, and let us walk in the freedom that you've paid for, Jesus. We just give you all the honor, all the glory, Lord. Amen.